Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally. Here's Randy.
Thank you for tuning in today to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. The topic I'll be discussing today is, how self-aware are you? If you were asked the question, who are you? How would you respond? Would you state your name and occupation, describe your physical characteristics, and talk about the roles you play? Or would you describe the true essence of your being? How you answer that question depends on your level of self-awareness. Self-awareness is the method by which we recognize ourselves as individuals who are distinctly separate from other individuals and our surrounding environment. It is the introspective ability we each have to recognize our attitudes, needs, values, opinions, tendencies, reactions, thoughts, emotions, and aptitudes. To be self-aware, we must be able to look well beyond the roles we play, the things we do, and our physical attributes. These aspects of ourselves are certainly important and necessary, but in relationship to all we are and all we can become, they play a very small role. It is through self-awareness that we examine our pre-existing conditions, distinguishing those that are self-fulfilling from those that are self-limiting. We must be willing to challenge old beliefs and release the emotions that are attached to them. Beginning in childhood, we are given messages, sometimes subtle, sometimes not, that we integrate into our thought processes. We are told what we are capable of doing and what we are not. These messages become part of our belief systems. Our belief systems define who we think we are. As adults, it is our responsibility to re-examine our pre-existing beliefs and identify the ones that are self-defeating, the ones that deprive us of our personal power. We never have to be stuck with current thought processes or circumstances. Life is meant to be lived deliberately. That is why there are endless options to choose from. As I look back over the years, I see that much of my suffering could have been prevented by having keener self-awareness. My lack of self-awareness made me vulnerable to manipulation. Schemers marked me as someone they could easily take advantage of. Accidents happened because my mind was elsewhere. Predators observed my every move while I remained oblivious. I blindly believed in people whose only interest was benefiting themselves. I do not blame myself for what happened or for my lack of awareness, because I honestly did not know any better. The many sources of information we have at our fingertips today, and books and radio shows such as this one, did not exist. Once I knew better, I did better. Now I share all I have learned with you, so you do not have to stumble around in the dark as I did. You can only change what you understand. Whether or not you choose to use the knowledge to better yourself is entirely up to you. You are not the only one who suffers. No one goes through life unscathed. Ask anyone what they have gone through in life and be prepared to listen to at least three potentially victimizing life experiences with little deliberation. The older one gets, the more pain he will have lived through. We all suffer adversity, mishaps, tragedy. We all experience discouragement, stumbling blocks, frustration. But we do not all dwell on it. That is a choice. One cannot be both self-aware and adopt a victim mentality. If you feel like a victim of life, it is only because you have chosen to feel like a victim of life. If you are stuck in old patterns that work against you, it is because you have not chosen to free yourself from them. Have you ever heard someone say, "That's just the way I am," as an excuse to not take responsibility for the way he lives his life? What he might as well say is, "I am not willing to improve who I am," because that is a more truthful statement. If that is one's choice, he is entitled to it, as long as he assumes responsibility for his stance. Some of us want to progress ourselves through introspection. Some of us do not. Whether or not someone wants to delve into the many facets of his or her individuality comes down to personal choice. One does not have to have an introspective nature to have happiness, success, or a full life. Many people live fulfilling lives without ever discovering who they truly are. It is all relative to the life experience one desires. In fact, few of us achieve total self-awareness or are self-aware 100% of the time. There are times in life when self-awareness is not priority, when other needs are far more pressing. For instance, when raising young children, me time moments are few and far between. Children require a lot of attention. They do not want to hear that mom or dad is taking time away from them to find themselves. When my youngest child was 4 years old, I found that I really needed personal time, time to connect with myself. That is when I learned transcendental meditation. TM is done twice a day for 20 minutes, so I meditated when my daughter was in school and my son napped, and then when my husband came home from work and could relieve me. It was a great way to keep myself centered. Still, my self-awareness did not fully blossom until my kids were grown and I had more alone time. Self-awareness is an ongoing process of reflection. It is a process of discovery, individual to each of us, that is achieved through the honest exploration of the self. It is a fairly simple process that occurs over time. The payoff is tremendous. It can profoundly transform our lives. The process that brings us to self-awareness is a domino effect. The first step is making the choice to know ourselves. That awakens us to becoming more self-aware. As we become more self-aware, we gain a fuller understanding of our thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. Through that understanding, we are prepared to make the best choices for ourselves. We arrive at these choices based on what we learn from past experiences, how we consciously live in our present reality, and how open we are to all the possibilities our futures hold. The better the results of our choices, the more we become aware of the power we hold over our lives. The knowledge that we have control over our lives leads us to greater self-awareness. And the more aware we are of ourselves and desires, the more positive changes we can make in our lives. None of that can effectively come about without accepting the qualities that make us who we are. Accepting ourselves and realizing our unique identity requires facing the fact that we are not perfect, never were, and never will be. It also requires the understanding that no one else is perfect either, a concept that gets very confusing at times. Images of perfect-looking people surround us in magazines, on television, and in the movies. The constant bombardment of flawless-looking people makes it difficult to live with our own imperfections. But discovering who you are and who you want to be is about getting in touch with your authenticity, not measuring up to the manufactured standards of society. When you stand before a mirror, who do you see? Do you see who you are, who you might have been, or who you want to be? One who desires self-awareness looks in the mirror prepared to see every facet of his true reflection, past, present, and future. He is willing to examine all perspectives for the sake of personal growth. Have you ever looked in the mirror and wondered what everyone else sees? Everyone has at some time or another. All opinions are based on perception, and everyone's perception is different. In that regard, it should not concern us how we are seen by others, only how we see ourselves. There is one thing, however, that should concern us about the impression we make on others. That concern is how we impact the lives of others. These days, with everyone talking and texting on their cell phones, people have become less self-aware of their impact on others. People stop dead in their tracks to answer their phone or to text. They talk loudly on their phones in public places. Lines are held up by people who are so wrapped up in their conversations that they make the cashier and everyone else wait. Red lights turn to green, and drivers, preoccupied with their phones, just sit there. Countless accidents happen as a result of cell phone preoccupation. And then there are people who appear to have no semblance of self-awareness. We have all met those who seem oblivious to the impact their behavior has on others. We are likely to label these types of people rude, inconsiderate, selfish, loud, obnoxious, or insensitive. Some people seem unaware of the space around them and how it affects others. They may block an aisle in the grocery store without noticing that you are trying to get by. They may walk down the center of a narrow sidewalk, leaving no room for you to pass without having to step on the grass or jump off the curb. Not honoring the boundaries of other people's personal space may be attributed to oblivion or rudeness, but we cannot always be so quick to judge it as such. How self-awareness relates to personal space may also be based on the social behavior of one's culture. For instance, those of the American culture require a large radius of personal space around them. Those of Hispanic or Latin cultures are more welcoming of physical contact and are culturally less conscious of personal space. The same tendency is true of Japanese, Chinese, and other cultures that live in high-density populations and have adapted to crowding. Whatever the case, culturally based or not, how we affect others still boils down to the individual's self-awareness. A self-aware person is respectful, considerate, and empathetic. They are willing to see the perspectives of others and put themselves in someone else's shoes when the situation calls for it. Those who are self-aware monitor their own reactions and behaviors, having the same expectations of themselves as they have of others. Healthy self-awareness is a philosophical state of mind, a consciously developed assessment of our relationship to the world around us and the role we play within it. We use it to gain knowledge about ourselves as we progress through life, and we use it to enhance our life experience as we get to know ourselves. We're about halfway through the show, so let's take a brief 1 minute break. I'll return after the musical interlude. Stay tuned. I'll be right back. Back to today's discussion. How self-aware are you? Self-awareness certainly brings abundance to our lives. Still, many people are not receptive to developing it. The reasons vary. Some people fear the thoughts and feelings that live inside them. They cannot bear to face their inner selves. Others are comfortable with complacency. They do not want to put forth the effort that introspection would require. Those with perfectionistic tendencies may be reluctant to look inside, afraid they will not measure up to their own high expectations. Some people simply do not run deep. They are happy living their lives in a perfunctionary fashion. For those who are self-aware, there certainly are many degrees. Some people are aware of how they affect other people, yet they lack deeper introspection. Some people are willing to look inside, but have limits as to how far they can comfortably explore. And some people only become aware when they are backed into a corner or something profound is placed right before their eyes. There are those whose self-awareness is so severely heightened that it becomes an obstacle. I am referring to those who are excessively conscious of their appearance and mannerisms, those who are self-critical and self-monitor their every thought, word, and action, those who base their self-awareness on how they believe others view them. This is a disorder that leaves the confines of self-awareness and enters into the realm of self-consciousness. Certainly, we all have aspects of ourselves that make us feel self-conscious. We all have moments when we do not feel like we measure up to others, whether it involves a perceived flaw in our physical appearance, our level or lack of education, our family, or a disability. Feelings of inadequacy and self-consciousness are part of the human experience. They are there to motivate us to do better and be better. We all have a tendency to get wrapped up in ourselves from time to time. We all become preoccupied. Preoccupation, the act of being absorbed in a particular focus, is a necessary function of life. Many occasions call for deep concentration. It only becomes a problem when it negatively impacts our abilities to function normally. Problems occur when we are preoccupied to the degree that we feel anxious in social situations and avoid putting ourselves in them whenever possible, or feel overly conspicuous in public the majority of the time. Preoccupation becomes extreme when it changes to fixation, obsession, or compulsion. These mental mechanisms block the free flow of awareness, leaving us feeling unhappy, dissatisfied, and emotionally distressed. It is awareness, not preoccupation, that leads to insight, and insight motivates us to alter the patterns that hold us back. Gestalt psychology, a technique commonly employed by therapists, is based on that truth. Gestalt psychology is used to help patients let go of their pain through the release of encumbering ideas, patterns, and outlooks. It focuses on bringing the person's thoughts to the forefront of the here and now, rather than focusing on what happened in the past or what may happen in the future. The philosophy is that thoughts are most easily experienced, faced, and worked through when they are realized in the present. Gestalt psychology recognizes three zones of awareness that contribute to the development of a person's self-awareness: the outer zone, middle zone, and inner zone. Outer zone awareness comes from the five senses. Inner zone awareness is where thinking processes such as imagination, analysis, and memory take place. The three together make up what is known as the awareness continuum. The goal of this Gestalt psychology is to keep the awareness continuum in constant flow. Healthy self-awareness easily flows back and forth between the zones, giving the person a clear, comprehensive view of his needs, concerns, and interests. That awareness allows positive transformation. It helps him do whatever is needed or will be in his best interest. Though Gestalt psychology is a very effective tool, we do not all need a therapist to become self-aware. Purposeful attention is what allows us to see the patterns that hold us back. Through that recognition, we awaken to the creative, conscious choices that allow us to direct our lives. We teach ourselves to be self-aware through the practice of mindfulness. Mindfulness is the deliberate intent one has to experience the present moment without emotion or reaction. It is the acceptance of what is. And though mindfulness specifically concerns the present, it also allows for the past or future to be contemplated with full awareness that those thoughts are being experienced in the here and now. Mindfulness develops as you consciously pay attention to your surroundings. Begin observing life as if you are viewing it through a microscope. Consciously alert yourself to things you normally would not notice. The tiny details of a leaf, the movement of trees with the slightest breeze, the activity of an insect. Listen to sounds you otherwise would not pay attention to, trying to identify each one. Look at people with more intent. Pay attention to their facial expressions. Notice the color of their eyes. If you wish to discover your personal truths and awaken from life, you must first find out who you are, what makes you tick, and what you truly desire. That wisdom will greatly prepare you for the rest of your journey here. The self-awareness transformation will begin the moment you start deliberately living your life. If that is your goal, you can very easily integrate mindfulness into your day-to-day routines. I will suggest a few ways for you to do it. You can begin each morning with a ritual of declaring your thoughts, feelings, and intended goals for the day. That will give your day purpose, direction, and clarity. You can condition your mind through the use of cues that will bring your awareness back to the present moment. Select a particular thought, sound, word, or object that you will recognize and pay attention to when cued. Then every time you recognize the stimulus, stop what you were doing and pay attention to the moment. You can make a list of questions you would like to ask yourself. Do it from the perspective of an outsider who is trying to get to know you. Then answer each question with a short paragraph. Keep this list and continue adding to your answers as you develop greater self-awareness. You can train your mind to stay present in the moment through the practice of meditation. Meditation is a self-induced mode of consciousness that brings your attention inward. There are a variety of meditation techniques to choose from: chakra meditation, transcendental meditation, guided imagery meditation, breathing meditation, and Zen meditation, to name a few. It does not matter which one you use. Experiment with a few to find the technique that feels the most comfortable for you. You can practice yoga. Yoga enhances self-awareness on both a physical and psychological level. The poses and meditation will teach you to focus on what is happening in the moment. There are many types to choose from: Hatha yoga, Ananda yoga, Kripalu yoga, restorative yoga, power yoga, Kundalini yoga, and others. As with meditation practice, you may find the technique that best fits your needs by experimenting with a few types or watching a few classes. I have made a few suggestions for you to try, but these are not the only ways self-awareness can be achieved. If these ideas do not resonate with you, do your own research or use your imagination. Just understand that this will be a process that requires patience. All self-awareness gained will never be lost, so it is well worth the investment. Living is not about focusing on what you are doing wrong. It is about improving what you are doing right and finding new ways to expand the experience of your personal journey. Self-awareness requires courage. The hardest person you will ever have to face is the one reflected back to you in the mirror. Whether acknowledged or not, the fears you think lie dormant inside of you are actively being lived every moment of every day. They affect everything you do, think, and say. They hold back progress. The only person you are fooling by not facing them is yourself. how wasteful it would be to spend an entire life in denial. What then is the point of living? We each make an imprint on the world that remains long after we are gone, so make yours matter. Open your eyes to self-awareness. Shove all your obstacles aside, then reach in and seize the prize that is there for the taking. Your power of intent. We're out of time. But please feel free to contact me with any comments and questions you may have by emailing me at afinetimeforhealing@randygfine.com. Randy is spelled R-A-N-D-I. Be sure to tune in on Thursday, May 17th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time for another great show. All my shows will be archived and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Talk Radio show host and author, Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.